broadcasting statewide on the Golf Club Network, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Good morning. You're in the clubhouse. It's a beautiful day, November 17th, almost Thanksgiving. And in the clubhouse this morning, Ron Syrak, Golf World Executive Editor, Golf Digest Senior Writer, author, Play Your Best Golf Now, The Game Before the Game, and Every Shot Must Have a Purpose. Also an excellent keynote speaker. Before we talk with him, though, we need to remind you that today is a special day at the Prince Course. They're having their craft fair, starts at 9 o'clock, and their demo day starts at 10 o'clock, and special clinics. And we want to thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, sponsored by Poipu Bay Golf Course. 18 championship holes, visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golf experience. Poipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. Star Protection, for property threat and risk assessment, protection for your home or business, for your concert or special event, like the Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. Star Protection is what you need in Hawaii and California. And by Princeville's Prince Course, magnificent by nature. Completely renovated greens, bunkers, and clubhouse. The Prince Course is offering Kama'aina unlimited Saturday and Sunday play for just $99. Call 826-5001. Princeville's Prince Course.
This may be the last time I'm ever going to be able to say it's the end of the PGA Tour season, because starting next year, there will be no end of the season. This is the last event this weekend, the CME Title Holders event in Naples, Florida. And with us now, Ron Syrak. Welcome to the show.
Danielle, hi, and greetings from Miami International Airport. And I say that by way of apologizing if we get any background noise.
That's quite all right.
I was at the title holders for a couple of days, went to the annual LPGA Awards banquet last night, and now heading back to the office in Connecticut.
Excellent. All right. Now, the LPGA Awards ceremony, the evening, much more than just Player of the Year, Rookie of the Year, but let's start off with those. The Player of the Year, Stacey Lewis. Okay, finally, right? You get to say what? That this is...
Well, you know, this is, you and I have been talking about this as long as I've been doing your show, you know, which is years now, but she's the first American to be Player of the Year since Beth Daniel in 1994, and I've been writing that sentence probably for, you know, about 10 years, as long as it's been on my radar screen, that no American has been LPGA Player of the Year. But Stacey did it, and what was pretty cool is that Beth Daniel was on hand to present the award to her, and this sort of was a nice thing to see it go full circle.
That's excellent. Now, what I don't understand, Stacey Lewis is Player of the Year, but NB Park leads on the money list. How does that work?
Well, I think that what it means is that, well, first off, Stacey won four tournaments, and it's a point system. You get 30 points for a win, 12 points for second place, 9 for third, down to 1 point for a 10th place finish. So Stacey won four tournaments, so that's a lot of points right there. Plus, she was very, very extremely consistent. I think she might have 15 top 10 finishes, so she was getting points every time out.
All right. And on the PGA Tour, they go more by the money list. They don't have a point system, do they?
Yeah, the PGA Tour has a vote. It's actually a player vote for Player of the Year. And the PGA of America gives a Player of the Year award out at the fifth point system.
Okay. Now that we've got all that straightened out, on the Rookie of the Year, Soo Young Roo, was she the winner?
She was the winner, and you know, I mean, how often do you have somebody who's already won a major championship, the U.S. Open, be the Rookie of the Year? But that's exactly it. She won the U.S. Women's Open at Broadmoor as a rookie, and that is not as a rookie, as a non-member, as a member of the Korean LPGA. And again, she came in and did it through sheer consistency and gave a very, very moving speech. You know, I'm always impressed when one of these players who has English as a second language gets up there and they work very, very hard to learn a speech in English and deliver it in English. It's impressive.
It is. And they do work really hard. What stands out in your mind from that evening last night? What was the most memorable moment for you?
Most memorable moment for me was that the Heather Farr Perseverance Award went to Sophie Gustafson, and I got to present the award to her. Sophie is somebody I've known for 10 years, and the reason she won the Heather Farr is an LPGA player who died of breast cancer at a much too young age, so they've named this the Perseverance Award in honor of her. Sophie has competed as a professional golfer for 20 years now on a very public stage. We have to interact with the public and the media extensively, and she has a severe stutter that she's had from as long as she can remember. As she did when she won the Ben Hogan Award at the National Golf Writers Association, her acceptance speech was a videotape that she made herself. And as she jokingly said, you know, I could give this acceptance speech live, but we'd be here all night, you know, in her self-deprecating humor. But to me, that was... It was very, very meaningful to me that I was able to give this award to somebody I could have met.
Yeah, I bet. That's a great feeling. The lowest scoring average, that trophy will... It's the VAR trophy?
The VAR trophy, yeah, and it's still up for grabs with this tournament this week. And it's Stacey and Indy Park battling out. They're like less than a tenth of a point apart, something like that. They still got 36 holes to decide that, and it was funny last night because they usually give that award out, and they got up to give it out, and they said, we haven't decided yet. The other meaningful honoree last night was the Patty Byrd Award went to Nancy Lopez, and anytime you have a chance to honor Nancy for anything, it's a cool moment because, in my mind, I think Nancy Lopez's rookie year in 1978 started about a 15-year period, which I look at as really one of the golden eras of the LPGA. If you look through the 80s, I believe there were 9 Hall of Fame players who played during that time. Amy Alcott and Patty Sheehan and Joanne Carner and Julie Inkster and Beth Daniel and a couple of players who aren't in the Hall of Fame, Rosie Jones and Meg Mallon and Dottie Pepper. You know, it was really, really, really a cool era in women's golf.
And to see Nancy Lopez get the award last night, wonderful. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Yanni Sen before we talk about Doug Brecht and the memorial, his golf cart, and slow play and some other things, the PGA Tour. I don't know how much time you have. You're catching a flight. When do you need to get off?
I'm good. I got that.
All right. Okay. Yanni Sen was talking with the media prior to the CME title holders, and we're talking with Ron Syrak, the executive editor of Golf World magazine. She said that she understands why, this is what I heard this secondhand, why Annika Sorenstam and Lorena Ochoa retired, because the pressure of being number one is intense. Do you think that pressure had anything to do with Annika or Lorena retiring?
I don't. I mean, Annika retired at a time when she decided that she wanted... I think both of them retired because they wanted to start families.
Yeah.
Annika 10 years older than Lorena. I also think that Annika, in particular, wasn't willing to be a competitive player if she couldn't be the best in the world. That's the only reason she played golf, is to beat people. And you know, she could have had a kid and come back and played and been a top 10 player, but being a top 10 player is not what Annika's all about. She wanted to be number one or nothing, and she knew how hard she had to work to be number one. The workout program, the practice session were all grueling. She knew how hard she had to work, and she knew that as a mom, she wasn't going to be able to put that time in. That's why she stepped away. She transferred her competitive juices to being a businesswoman, and that's what she's focused on.
And she's excellent. Lorena,
I think it was a complicated combination of wanting to start a family, having just got married and become the stepmother of 3 children, and then also there were some people who thought that the security concerns in Mexico right now made her not want to expose herself publicly to the traffic.
Oh, that's interesting, especially when children around you. You want to make sure that you're very safe because you want to keep the children safe. Absolutely.
Exactly.
On Yanni, though, I was thinking about, she's number one in the world still, is she not?
She is number one, yeah. She's still got about a 3-point lead on Stacey Willis.
Okay.
Well, I sat with Yanni. I sat with Yanni at dinner last night and talked to her a little bit. I think that one of the things Yanni struggled with throughout her entire career, and this is one of the things that Tia Nielsen and Lynn Marriott have worked on with her, she still doesn't believe how good she is. You know, I don't think that her belief level, her confidence level, still has caught up to her skill level. And I think she still struggles with that. And there is not, to me, I look at her this year, there's not really an injury problem. There's not a technical problem. There's just some sort of crisis of confidence going on there that she wins three of the first five tournaments of the year and then really has been a virtual non-factor since.
Yeah, I couldn't help but wonder, you know, if you lose that number one position after gaining it with such seeming ease, she did it without seeming to have to work for it. She just kept winning tournaments. So she becomes number one, and it all happens so fast. If you lose that number one position, you have to work for it. That must, I'm only speaking to you from your work with Vision 54, your writing, Every Shot Must Have a Purpose, The Game Before the Game, Play Your Best Golf. Now, how hard is it to get back into that number one position, having to struggle for it?
Well, I think with all great players, the first test of their true greatness comes when they have a down period, and how do they bounce back from it? Look, we're seeing Tiger Woods go through something very, very similar. Once he got knocked off his throne, it's not been the same for him bouncing back. Jack Nicklaus is a remarkable, remarkable guy who came and squeezed that one last major out 6 years after, and he got number 18 6 years after number 17. But it's the down period, it's the struggle period that really tests a great player. I think we saw Rory McIlroy, after he won the U.S. Open at Congressional, play horribly in his next five major championships, and then all of a sudden started to figure it out again. And he bounced back this year in a way. I think he learned from it. He learned how to structure his priorities and how to budget his time. And you know, maybe that's part of what's going on with Yanni. And maybe it is just the thing of waking up every day thinking, I'm number one, and going out there playing with that pressure.
Rory McIlroy, somebody asked me last night at a gathering, what's wrong with him? Is he just a fly in the, a fly by night? He didn't make the cut? I figured he just didn't feel like playing this weekend. He's tired.
Well, this is the third year in a row that Rory's gotten to November, got to Asia, and said almost the exact same quote, I'm tired. And I look at Rory to start to manage his schedule a little bit better. Look, the top players right now don't have an off-season anymore. They're playing a 12-month schedule. And they're playing not only a 12-month schedule, but a global 12-month schedule. You look at the He's played in the United States, he's played in Europe, he's played in the Middle East, he's played in Asia. He's circled the globe competing this year. I think that wears you down. I think he's worn down right now.
Yeah. One person who's probably feeling a little bit worn down right now is at the CME title holders, speaking with Ron Syrak, executive editor, Golf World. Sun Yung Yu, she was playing beautifully until, I think it was number 14, where she carted a snowman. She took a penalty. She took an unplayable after she tried to play from the particular spot where she took the unplayable from. Then via TV, Twitter, it was then called to the rules officials' attention that she took, the drop was wrong.
Yeah, when you drop a ball, you have to hold the ball out at shoulder length or shoulder height or higher and drop the ball. It has to be shoulder height and drop the ball from there. And they could see on the video that her arm was below parallel, and she was dropping it from a closer distance to the ground than the rules required her to drop.
What do you think of the calling in because you saw it on TV aspect of this game?
There's a lot of difference of opinion on that, and I'm against it. Here's what I think the tour should do. I think there should be a rules official who sits in a rules trailer and watches the tournament on TV. And if they see something wrong, they can use TV to call it in. I don't think necessarily like viewers calling it in, because to me, and this is my problem with using TV at all, certainly the luck of the draw, the rub of the grain, you know, is all part of golf. But if you happen not to be on TV, you know, if you're, does that mean you can get away with something? Or does it mean the person who's on TV is being held to a different standard than the rest of the field? I have an issue with that. But I wouldn't have a problem if they decided that they'd have a rules official watch the tournament on TV and call penalties.
Speaking of rules official, Doug Brecht, he died West Nile virus, the cause of death, and a golf cart, a memorial for him. Tell us about that.
It's very touching. Doug died. He was diagnosed with West Nile virus during the J.B. Ford Toledo tournament in August. He was hospitalized in Toledo, never left the hospital. Died in October, I think it was October 16th, while the tour was in Asia. So this was the first opportunity to memorialize him in any way in the United States. Doug played college golf at the University of Oklahoma, lived in Oklahoma. So they had a golf cart set on an LPGA rules, Doug Brecht. It was painted the Oklahoma school colors, red and white. It had the Sooner Boomer on it. It had a Chicago Cubs logo on it, his favorite baseball team. And all the players and caddies were urged as they came through. It was parked on a bridge right across the tee, between the 17th tee and the 17th green. And the players, the caddies, were encouraged to sign it. And then the cart was going to be given to Doug's wife.
Nice. Very nice. I want to talk to you about the PGA Tour a little bit about, I'm going to let you think about it while we talk about something else. You'll have to bear with me. Story of the year, person of the year, shot of the year. I think we'll go with story of the year maybe. And maybe that hasn't been determined yet because your protege, Doug Ferguson, sent out a tease tweet on Friday, something to the effect that we're not going to hear anything about the future of anchored putters until Tuesday. which I thought was an interesting date. Do you think they're going to ban the anchoring of putters? What's your feeling on this?
I think they are. Now, remember, even if they do, it doesn't go into effect until 2016 when it's the next change in the rules of golf.
Okay.
So players will have 3 years to make the adjustment. What's going to be interesting is there are not going to be any lawsuits from the equipment industry because clubs aren't being banned. I don't think that you're going to see the tours challenging USGA in some way, but you may see some individuals. Jim Clark has hinted that he's putted that way for 16 years. Adam Scott might be somebody. Keegan Bradley is somebody who might be interested in filing a suit and say, hey, look, you're hurting my ability to earn a living.
And you think they'd have a case in court?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I'm a big believer that governing bodies, organizations, have the right to make their rules, and that's what they should be. But the dangerous precedent that's out there was the Supreme Court ruling on the Casey Martin case, where the PGA Tour tried to establish walking as a condition of competition. And the Supreme Court said, no, you can't do that because it goes against the Americans with Disability Act. So in that case, the court was able to essentially overturn a rule of competition of a governing body, the PGA Tour.
Mm. So if Clark can't use, because he can't use his wrist in a certain way, so that would be stopping him from being able to make a living because he's using a tool, a long putter, to make his living. Aha.
Exactly. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with the club. They just don't like the way he's using the club.
Right. Now, the other question is, if the USGA bans anchoring, could the PGA Tour ignore that decision and make, like, a local rule for PGA Tour players?
They could, but I don't think the Tour has shown any appetite in wanting to do that. They didn't want to, they haven't gone up against any other rule situation like that. So I would be, you know, there was talk some while back that maybe the Tour would look into imposing its own standard on the golf ball. But I think the PGA Tour wants the governance of the game to remain a USGA responsibility.
Okay.
The Tour does do it. I mean, look at it. Miss Clean and White is not in the rules of golf. That's a local rule that the PGA Tour imposes.
Yeah. So they could technically do it if they wanted to.
Absolutely, they could do it. But when it comes to equipment, they're not going to do it.
Okay. All right. That was just one of the things that, you know, that'd be interesting because the only people it would hurt would be like, I don't know, amateurs. That'd be silly. On the PGA
Tour. That raises the other question as to whether we're ultimately on the road to bifurcation of the rules, you know.
Yes.
And will that happen? Will there be just one set of rules for the professionals, one set for the amateurs? I like the fact that we all play by the same rules, although some people will argue, as they did in the Casey Martin play, we don't all play by the same rules. You know, in the rules of golf, there aren't mulligans, there aren't gimmies, you know. I mean, I guess the match play there are gimmies. But there are minor tweaks in the rules of golf so that we don't really play by it. But for the most part, we do, and I like that.
All right. On the PGA Tour season, the final, this is the last time we'll be able to say this is the end of the season, right? Next year, it'll just keep on going.
Yeah, the unofficial disappearance of the offseason has now become the official disappearance of the offseason. The 2014 season will start in October of 2013. I'm not sure what I think of. You know, that the European Tour was sitting there for a while, and it didn't really work out well.
No, people want to have an off season to reflect back on, you know, like, I don't know, shot of the year, event of the year, all of those things where you get to kind of look back and think and talk and then look forward to it. Looking forward to something starting is very exciting. And
and look how baseball milks its off season with spreading out the awards that it gives, most valuable player, Cy Young, you know, they use that team really, that time really, really well. Create interest and attention on their sport.
Yeah, you build up to the beginning of the season. You get excited again. Okay,
yeah.
But for the let's say for the event of the season, what was the standout for you this year? What was your story of the year?
You know, I guess one of the stories of the year has to be the fact that Tiger Woods came back and won three golf tournaments, and except for Rory McIlroy, would have been the player of the year. You know, the other possibility that's in there is combined with it gets the shot of the year, which is Bubba Watson winning the Masters.
Oh yeah,
with that amazing shot on the second playoff hole.
Yeah.
But that was right up there. I think Tiger coming back and finally winning could be like a good story.
Yeah, that is a good. Well, there's also, you know, the Ryder Cup. That was a pretty big story of the year.
Well, actually, you know, and that's my absolute favorite event. And that comeback, the comeback on Sunday singles by the European team is the single greatest comeback that happened in that sport, because when the Americans came back in that same deficit, it was a home game for the Americans. It was in Boston. This was Europe doing it on the road.
Now, and speaking of comeback, now they've changed the rules on comeback player of the year. Tiger Woods, would he qualify under the new way they're going to determine what is a comeback player of the year person?
Well, it's a strange thing because I would argue that how's Tiger not the comeback player of the year, you know? I think the reason that they're sort of in this is Steve Stricker was comeback player of the year twice.
Oh.
An odd prepared.
Yeah, that kind of made everybody go, what? Well, J.B. Holmes is certainly in there.
Yes.
And if Gerald, in Australia, recovering from leukemia, if he comes back, that would be an amazing story. I think, finally, on a final note here, because I want to talk to you about all kinds of stuff. I want to talk to you about water issues. And I'm just running out of time. So
you can have me back again, because I'm going to have to run for a plane soon, too. So.
Okay, good. All right. Now, but for me, the comeback tournament of the year, we can give to Humana Challenge, the Humana, okay? That Clinton resurrecting that event, that's a comeback, too. Ron
yes.
Syrak,
yes.
Thank you so
yep.
much for being on the show. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Daniel.
Aloha. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii. We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star. Star Protection Agency.
Your AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're in office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tea time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay. Wow, what a beautiful day! Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
Based on those clouds outside, I wouldn't be surprised, but it's going to be a mostly cloudy day today. No thunder, lightning in the forecast. Breezy, though. It looks like a two-club day, okay? So if you're out there playing, and if you'd like to play around, go over to the Prince Course, Kama'aina, $99 unlimited weekend play. That's on the weekend. You know when you have a day off? It's awesome. There's a 10 o'clock, a 12 o'clock, a 12:30. Go to the Prince Course for more than just play, because today is demo day. It is the pre-holiday craft fair. There's so much going on. And speaking of so much going on, I'm just terribly excited. Over the next few months, we're going to give away two trips for two on Hawaiian Airlines to the West Coast. Yes, to the West Coast. Four nights in the Palace Hotel in San Francisco. That's a four-star hotel. So twice during the show, we will take your calls. And we're going to do it right now. I'm going to warn you. But when you hear this jet take off, when you hear the sound of the jet taking off, oh, the jet's not ready to take off yet. Okay, when you hear the sound of the jet taking off, the ninth caller, each time you hear the sound of the jet, gets their name in the drawing, okay? Whether they're taking off for Seattle or Portland or San Jose or San Francisco, Oakland, Los Angeles, San Diego, you know, that's where Hawaiian Airlines flies, and to Sacramento and New York. Hawaiian Airlines also flies to Kauai, and you should be on the next flight over, right? Steve Murphy, the director of golf at the Prince Course, the 2012 Horton Smith Award-winning Aloha Section PGA of America member, 2010 Professional of the Year and Merchandiser of the Year, just back from the PGA meeting in Baltimore, where a new CEO and president and board of directors were all sworn in, including Dottie Pepper, who's the new independent director. How do you like that for introduction? Steve Murphy, welcome to the show.
Wow, thank you, Danielle. Well, that was quite the opening. Is that really me? That didn't sound
like me. That's you. That's totally you.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and you're having this fabulous, I mean, a craft fair. You can do all of your guys, ladies, golfers, you can go do, and non-golfers, all of your Christmas shopping. Dare I say the word before Thanksgiving? You can do all your shopping. Craft fair, 9 this morning till 4 o'clock this afternoon, okay? Locally made jewelry, food, hand-painted clothing, handmade bags, carved wood, fine art. I mean, it goes quilts, Hawaiian hand-woven baskets, soy candles, skincare. So much, and so much to buy in so little time to shop.
We got everything.
You do.
We got it all. You can come in and do your one-stop golf shopping. You can buy
stuff for the wife.
You can do it all.
Right. You go to the craft fair. Then you go sneak over to the Loco sale, where it's 50% off between 8 this morning and 5 o'clock. In fact, it's like that for the next 2 days, all weekend long. And 35% off on your golf shoes. Yeah. Get over there. All right. And the demo day. Let's talk a little bit about the demo day. Real quick, before we get to the free clinics, what time does demo day start?
Demo day will start from 10 to 2. We'll be here a little bit longer, too, just in case you can't make it by 2. I'll be out there a little bit longer fitting.
You mean you're gonna be the person that we get to meet, and you're gonna help me with the new clubs that are available from Titleist and TaylorMade?
Definitely. I'll be out there fitting the new Rocket Blades irons. I'll be fitting the R11 drivers and the R11S. Ooh. As well as the RBZ Rocket Balls drivers.
Okay, what's really important when you get one of these new clubs, because I got one from TaylorMade, and it's a really cool driver, but I have absolutely no idea how to adjust it. It comes with a little key, right?
Definitely.
Yeah.
That's what I'm there for. I can adjust it for you.
Thank you. You see, I...
We'll get you hitting it straight.
You know, it's really important to have somebody adjust it. Don't tinker with it unless you know what tinkering does, because,
definitely.
Right?
Definitely. If you're hitting it right, we can help you to keep it straight. If you're hitting it left, we can try to straighten it out for you. That's the technology of the new adjustable drivers these days, is it helps, you know, all players have a lot more fun with the game, and that's one of the things that we're trying to get across to the public, to make the game a little easier, more friendly.
That's something that you guys do at the Prince Course really well. See, you've embraced some fun factors that,
yeah.
For instance, Barney Adams, he came up with this idea, tee it forward, don't make people suffer.
Definitely.
Tell us about tee it forward.
We have a program that we're running here at the Prince, where we're going to do a tee it forward event where we have the bigger 8-inch cups, the ones Jack Nicklaus kind of was an advocate for, and then we have the shorter tees, because the Prince Course is kind of challenging. I don't know if anybody's played it before, but it can be a little tough on the scorecard. But we're trying to make it easier. We're trying to make it a little more user-friendly. So we figure with the tees up, bigger holes come out. We're not going to do a whole 18-hole loop. We'll probably do about a 12 to 14-hole loop and then make it a little faster as well. So when we do that, we try to do like two-man events, scrambles, better ball, stuff like that to make it a little more fun.
I love that. That's how I played the Prince Course. Best ball. There were four.
That's the way.
There were three of us, two girls and our ringer.
Got to have a ringer.
We had a ringer, and he would tee it off, you know, and we're like, God, that's cool. We can drop from there. We can play from there.
There you go.
No, and it's fun because, see, when you go to the Prince Course, when you play golf, period, but at the Prince Course, you need to just be able to enjoy your surroundings. Look around you. Man, it is gorgeous. And talk about safe. I mean, you are like doing a hike in a stroll pace. And it's all manicured for you. It's gorgeous for you, right?
Definitely. You're going through the jungle. Every hole's kind of cut out, so
yeah.
If you're a little self-conscious of your swing, no other golfers will see you.
Nobody. Oh, that's the other thing. It's very, very private. You
definitely
feel like you're by yourself. You really need to go play with the $99 Kamaaina unlimited play. That's $99. So if I come over there now, $99 will buy me 36.72.
Yeah, you could play as much as you want. You could go sun up to sundown if you'd like, Danielle. We'll definitely, we're here for you. I think you've helped us as well. We've gotten some guys from Oahu, I think, coming out today.
Cool.
About maybe 12 players that are going to do the Kamaaina weekend, and they're going to, they started here early. We already checked them in, and they're going to play 36, and
yeah,
they're all excited.
Yeah, they should be, because this is great. Now, see, tee it forward. For those of you who think, you know, okay, like I'm too tough to want to tee it forward because I'm a manly man and I really, you know, right? All the guys that really want to challenge themselves, we're not talking to you. We're talking to Barney Adams, Adams Golf, the founder. He figured out that if you have like a 30 handicap and you're playing for a set par 72 position on the course, okay?
Yeah.
It's like, it would be like asking a professional to play an 8,000-yard course.
Sure.
Right?
Definitely.
Now, that would be painful, even for a professional. Maybe Bubba Watson could do it. Maybe Charlie Hoffman could do it. But that's way too long. You know, it's
definitely
way too long for those of us who just don't have length. So why torture ourselves when you just tee it forward?
Definitely. Someone told me that, let's see what you can shoot from the forward tees and then move back. Once you can shoot even par every time from the forward tees, then move back. And so I thought that was kind of a...
That's a very, very... Say that again, just in case it went by everybody too quickly.
See how good you can play from the forward tee. See if you can shoot even par and then move back a tee.
See?
But that would be tough. I think everybody would still be playing the forward tee.
Yeah, you know, I might be on the junior tees, okay?
There you go. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make it, take the edge off and make it fun, you know?
But do I care? No, because see, my goal is to get to the green. That's where I have my fun. I love being on the green. Okay.
Sure. That's what they're trying to do with the Golf 2.0 is they're trying to, you know, retain and strengthen core golfers, engaged, you know, lapsed golfers that play but just kind of maybe lost interest in it, and then drive, obviously, new players to the game, juniors, you know, obviously the women. You know, I know that you spoke with Mary B. and,
right.
and you know, they're a Renee very
Powell
big part of the game.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Very big part of the game, and
Dottie
they control
Pepper.
The financial, so.
They control the financial, so, hey.
Get them out here.
That's why the ladies, go to the craft fair. Okay?
That's right. We got everything you need. And okay. Husbands, we have chairs for you to sit down.
And you can just sit. Oh, I love seeing guys sitting in stores. Don't you love it?
Yeah, you can watch football. You can sit down.
That's what they should do, like at any of the big stores. Just put a TV for the guys. Put a little, you know, a little place for them to sit down.
Definitely.
They can kind of just cruise.
Yeah.
That's why you have that really cool clubhouse.
Sure, sure.
Right?
And then today they can even go to the tavern. Tavern's open all day. They can try the tavern.
See?
You know, by Roy Yamaguchi.
It's awesome. I loved it, and the whole everything was redone at the Prince Course. Everything's redone at the Prince Course, so it's not your old Prince Course.
It's brand new. It's all brand new.
Right, right. No, I got us to the greens, so we have to finish talking about being on the greens because you're also looking at doing something Jack Nicklaus talked about. Even though I don't mind the cup being the size it is because I kind of like putting when I'm doing well.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
All right, caveat. You guys are going to increase the cup for people?
Well, yeah, we're just on a few events. We, you know, you kind of get crossed between the traditional golfer and the make it fun, make it easy golfer. So there's a little bit of balance there. But we're doing, like we do a scramble, a weekly scramble, and we did a test pilot where we put two holes on the green. We put an 8-inch cup and a regular cup. And we found that on the back nine, the people – our guests that played the 8-inch cup had a lot more fun, and they came in going, gosh, you know, you should try that on a 18-hole event. So we figured we'd do that and see if we can, you know, get more people encouraged to play.
Oh,
that's the idea.
See, this is all the Prince Course. I think more courses should do this.
Definitely.
You know, I mean, it may take a little bit more time. What do are there some people who think that it might damage the green?
No, you know, the hole's a little bit bigger, but as long as you don't change it very often, I mean, we change holes every day, but you'd have to leave it for a few days. But like I said, it's not something that you'd want to do every day.
Yeah, but on special occasions.
Definitely.
Yeah, yeah, for a tournament or something.
Tournaments and fun outings.
Fun outings.
Junior golf. And
yeah, yeah.
All that good stuff.
And ladies' leagues.
Ladies' leagues.
You know, for women, if you've, you know, you dragged your clubs out that you were playing with, like in college or as junior, you know, they were in the closet somewhere. And
hopefully you're dragging your new ones out that you bought today at the demo day.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's my point. See, if you drug your clubs out and you went to the course, you went, God, I don't know how to play this game anymore. Everything is not working. This isn't fun. Well, chances are, if you try some of the new equipment, it's going to make the game a whole lot more fun, and you're going to have fun again. And really, seriously, if I can say that about my full swing, you can have fun again. If you were playing as a junior golfer in college and you think you've lost your game, you haven't lost your game. You just need to get something more forgiving.
Sure.
More forgiving.
Yeah, the technology now, it's kind of like when the oversized tennis racket came out.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. You
know, got all the new technology, more distance, bigger club face.
Let me ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's fair that the professionals, the guys on the PGA Tour, get to play with these gigantic club heads compared to what they were playing with 20, 30 years ago?
Yeah, I think it's good. I like to see people do well. I don't want to see people struggle. It's, you know what I mean? Who wants to see somebody, you know, shoot 90? You know, that's no fun. I want to see somebody go low. So I don't mind. I think it's great.
Okay. All right. Yeah, okay. I got it. All right. That's good. You know, Steve Murphy, he is the director of golf at the Prince Course, and he is also a wingman for the Sectional Patriot Golf Initiative.
Yeah, definitely. That's one of the things myself, Rick Castillo, and Greg Nichols on Oahu, we all kind of team together, and it's all the professionals and at all the clubs. We all get involved. We think that the Folds of Honor is a great, great cause, and Major Dan Rooney, who started it, is an awesome professional, and goes to a good cause, helping the military children that have had family that are veterans help with their education.
Yeah.
And without that program, so many youngsters of military families would suffer.
Yes, you know, and it also helps for a spouse. Let's say the breadwinner in the family gets killed in action. The wife or the husband needs to be retrained so that they can then take care of the family.
Definitely.
They also qualify for the scholarship assistance.
Sure.
Yes, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that you're doing. So today is, I don't know, do you have to go set up?
Yeah, actually, I do. I'm running around a little bit, but I definitely want to make time for the show here and talk story with you a little bit.
Will you be back on the show? Because you're fun to talk to.
I will definitely. I would love to. You got to invite me, though. I hope I don't want to wear out my welcome.
No, you know, nobody wears out their welcome. I have people on all the time.
Okay.
And then people get to know you, and, you know, they go, oh, yeah, I know Steve Murphy. I'm going to go visit Steve Murphy over at the Prince Course.
Definitely.
$99 Come Ina special. You can play all day long for $99 at the Prince Course. The Prince Course, okay?
Thank you, yeah. That sounds good.
Let's go.
I like the way you put that.
Let's go do it right now. I'm going to get on that flight. No, I got a show to do.
Perfect.
I have James Siekman standing by. He's the, you know, the short game guru.
Oh, boy, I could use his help.
I know. So could Tiger.
Yeah, I'm
really right. Tiger can get,
Tiger.
But then he can't quite get to the green in the right place. You know.
Yeah. He's got to be able to utilize it.
Yeah, that 125 to that 125 to 100. That's the really critical, you know, place where you have to be able to get on the green from there and place that shot where you want it to go. That would be something that I can't do. But then again, I don't do it for a living.
There you go.
All right, James Murphy, Director of Golf, Prince Course. Thanks for being on the show.
Steve, but yeah, don't worry.
What did I call you?
You call me James, but I still love
James,
you.
James,
don't,
that's because James is next. See, I've got James on my mind.
It's all good. Thank you, Danielle. Thank you so much for having me on the show, and thanks for letting everybody know about what we're doing here at the Prince Course. And to try to grow the game. And I hope to see you soon and be on the show.
Steve Murphy, Director of Golf, Prince Course. Thanks.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Magnificent by nature. Princeville's Prince Course on Kauai's spectacular North Shore. Renovated greens, bunkers, clubhouse, and more. They're now offering Kama'aina the chance for unlimited play for only $99 for the entire weekend. Golfers, is there a better way to spend Saturday and Sunday? Unlimited play on Kauai's Prince Course with your local ID. It's Kama'aina weekends. That's right. Play 18, 36, or more both Saturday and Sunday for only $99. Call 826-5001 for tee times.
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Call Star Protection Agency for your office building, shopping center, or construction site. Let Star Protection take care 24/7. They know what to do to protect your assets, or join the Star team. Need a threat and risk assessment for your business? Call 532-3911. 532-3911. Star Protection Agency, across Hawaii since 1991. Get Star Protection.
Off a tree, hit a rock, and bounce next to the pin. That's my kind of golf. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on The Golf Club.
Welcome back. You heard my spiel earlier. Over the next 4 months, we're going to give away two trips for two on Hawaiian Airlines to the West Coast. They fly to Seattle, Portland, San Jose, San Francisco, Oakland, Los Angeles, San Diego, and you'll stay 4 nights in the Luxury Collection Palace Hotel in San Francisco. All you got to be is the ninth caller when you hear that jet taking off. Ah! Yep, that's me leaving for Kauai to go to the Prince Course. No, you got to be the ninth caller. All you got to do is call 808-296-5467, 808-296-5467. And while you're calling, you also need to be listening, because James Siekman, performance coach, the pro who teaches the pros, the Academy Golf Academy at Shadow Ridge, James has instructed over 40 PGA and LPGA Tour pros. He's a six-time PGA Section Teacher of the Year. Some of his students are Tom Pernice, Charlie Wee, Ben Crane, Charlie Hoffman, DJ Trahan, Kyle Stanley, Duffy Waldorf. Duffy's been on the show. IK Kim, Brad Faxon, Jeff Overton, Justin Rose, Nick Watney during 2011. Let me just bring James Siekman on the show. Good morning, James.
Good morning, Danielle. How are you?
Excellent. It's so good to have you. I was going, hobbies include basketball. How tall are you?
Yeah, well, I am 6'5", so in theory, you think I could play, but that ship has sailed, unfortunately.
No, but I mean, because when we met at the Grand Golf Course, I couldn't help but go, wow, James Siekman, you are very tall. And can I ask, is it difficult for someone of your height to play golf?
It can be in certain areas. I mean, certainly when you bend over to address whether it's a putt or a golf shot, it's important to keep your posture, and which means you need more hip hinge, which, you know, places a little more strain in certain areas and whatnot. But you know, one of the beautiful things about golf is that you can, depending on your standards, it doesn't matter what your body shape size is. I mean, you can do it and become skillful at it.
Yes. So for the tall guy, you know, who thinks, well, this is really uncomfortable, there's ways for you to be able to make this game work for you because it's so much fun. Look at the tall basketball players who've taken up the game, and they enjoy it for the most part.
Exactly. The guy that comes to mind, I think, is Bill Russell. He's like 6'11", loves golf, plays every day.
See?
You know, so there you go.
Yeah, just get fitted.
There you go.
Yeah. Now, you have a couple of interesting tips that I found on your website, but what I really liked for people who have difficulty with controlling the trajectory, there is a really good, with Ben Crane, I think it is, you talk about the high shot and the low shot, and I wanted to go over that with you.
Yeah, sure.
All the wide stance, and to get the shot up in the air, and it seemed like he almost like was his thighs were almost a squat, getting kind of low. Can you explain it?
Yeah, exactly. So, first off, if anybody, any of your listeners, want to see that video, it's a YouTube video where I did with Ben Crane and Dr. Greg Rose at the World Golf Fitness Summit. So I think if they put that in there, it should pop up, so they could hear and see what we're talking about. But
yeah.
One of the ways, you know, there are a lot of ways to control your trajectory. Obviously, club selection would be one. But beyond that, especially for a skilled player, the closer you are to the ball in proximity, the lower the ball is going to go. And so, conversely, then, if you're trying to hit a high shot, and if those old enough could picture Seve Ballesteros 15 or 20 years ago in his heyday, where he'd widen his legs and sit and lower the handle. So when your hands get low, let's imagine, say, between your knees.
Yes.
The face of the club's going to rotate open. If not, obviously, the heel, you have a lying angle issue. So the face, the club will kind of naturally find its bottom. So as you lower the handle, just let the face rotate open. Obviously, you're much further away from the ball. And when you take a grip in that manner, when you take a grip in that manner, you create a little more extension or cup in your left wrist and in your lead wrist, let's say, would be a better way to say it. So that cup, if you maintain that in the backswing, the face is going to be wide open.
Right.
And if it's open and you release it, or basically just swing the club, the effective lofted impact is going to be extreme, and the ball, so like the tour players that I work with, whether it's Camillo or and Crane, when they lower the club like that and take it, it's a pretty big swing because it needs some power because it has a lot of loft. They can hit it straight up, and you know, Tom Pernice might be able to do it and actually catch the ball right in front of him. It might go straight up in the air and only travel 3 or 4 feet forward. which most players don't need, except for if you're playing Oakmont and the greens are 14 and they're firm and they're running away, then you really need to be able to control your shots like that.
Yeah, get it up and make it stop down. If you want to see this, all you have to do is online, go to, just enter James Seekman, S-I-E-C-K-M-A-N-N, James Seekman, and his academy will come up, and it's JSEGolfAcademy.com. Then when you go to tips, you'll find the YouTube, and it'll take you to a Facebook page, actually, which is very cool. A lot of folks in Hawaii love Facebook pages. So you'll find JSEGolfAcademy.com, okay, and go to the tips section. It's a beautiful page. And if you just want to enter James Seekman in the search engine will find him immediately for you. And it really, so conversely, the low shot, if you don't want to get that height, if you don't want it, then you need to stand more upright.
Exactly, and scoot in, get closer, well, almost like a putt where your eyes would be over the ball. So one of the things I have all my players do to develop their skill, but also their imagination for how the ball is going to release and roll out in every situation would be to do like a four trajectory drill. So let's imagine you take your sand wedge, scoot in, put the ball back. That would be, you know, if you return basically to your address position with that setup, the ball's going to come out very low. So let's call that lower than normal. Then maybe you set up, scoot a little further away, let the ball just slide inside your right foot. That would be certainly less shaft lean. That would come out, say, a normal trajectory, and then you could scoot away and open the face. That would be higher than normal, and then you could do that crazy kind of let the club fall between your leg shot.
That
and you
can...
should be able to really hit all four trajectories to any pin.
Yeah, it's a really good YouTube. And it's only 2 minutes long. It's very short, but you give a lot of information in it. How did you get into being the short game guru, I'm calling you, James Seekman? How did you get into this game and into coaching?
Yeah, Danielle, I played in college, and then I went and played in the South America and the Far East. And I'm old, and I'm dating myself a little bit, but that was pre, you know, Hogan Tour, Web.com. That minor league tour. So if you failed in tour school, you had no choice but to either play just like mini tour state opens or go overseas. So mm-hmm. I went overseas, and in 5 years of doing so, I just seemed to be getting worse every year, and to the point where, you know, my first year I felt like I had a chance to play good and accomplish my goal. And then by the fourth year, it's like, oh my gosh, I've got to do something else. This is not working out. So after I quit, you know, I got married and quit, and I wasn't really trained to do a whole lot else. And so I went on a little quest. It was like, why could I not succeed? And mainly in the short game was where I was at. So I just kind of went on a self-study, and I threw everything that I knew out the book because it wasn't working, and I said I was going to make up my own mind. And I just went to tour events. I had an older brother that played on the tour, so I had access to all the players, and I just took video, and I just watched what they did. And I said, okay, this is what the good players do for the most part, so this is what I'm going to teach. And it just kind of started in that vein. And now I've just been doing it for so long that I've, you know, developed, certainly.
Yeah, your clientele is very impressive, and the results that you get, amazing, with Tom Pernice in 2011 finishing top 125, and he only played 12 events, right?
Yeah, he's an inspiring guy.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about Tom.
Well, Tom is 53, and he's still playing on the regular tour. He actually splits time, but if he can get in a regular tour event, he will, which, you know, he and VJ, I'd say, were the only two guys that are really doing that. And, you know, he doesn't look 53, he looks 43, and just one of the hardest workers that I've ever seen. And between that and a wedge game that I would put up against any single human being on the planet, you know, that's Tom. He's a competitor.
Wow. And he was in 2011, finishing on the PGA Tour, top 125 after competing in only 12 events. Okay, that's amazing. Yeah. All right, he was number one in 125 to 100. That distance, that is so critical. Why is that distance so important to master?
Well, anytime you're making a partial swing, I mean, then judgment and feel for the energy required becomes super important. And it's easy to hit it straight if you're reasonably skilled, but the difficulty is controlling the distance. And so not only does he have kind of a technical plan, but we also have a practice plan to account for that. And he just works very hard.
You, in your practice plan, I couldn't help but think about the tips that you have on your website. Practice makes permanent, not perfect. And how you practice is so critical. The keys to consistency that you have, also very important to go over. But I'd like to talk a little bit more about Ben Crane and actually my focus was just lost it for a second. Charlie Hoffman. Charlie has an incredible ability to hit the ball a very long distance.
Yes.
Right? How do you get someone? I imagine that because he gets so much positive feedback for himself on the tee, hitting those beautiful drives, is it difficult for them to then focus on the short game?
Not really, because they understand how critical it is to making money, which is exactly what they're obviously trying to do. The hard part comes when they get a little distracted because maybe they're having an off period with their full swing. So if Charlie starts hitting it crooked, not very, you know, they have very high standards. So
right.
that can happen quite often. Then it's easy to focus so much on that you start to neglect the short game and things that you do every day to make sure that you're, performing.
Yes.
And I run into that problem quite a bit where, you know, their short games are good, full swing's not so great, they start really grinding away, and then, you know, a month, I always tell people, listen, what you do today doesn't affect tomorrow, it affects what happens a month from now.
Wow.
And, you know, they lose sight of that long term and start grinding on their full swing, they start hitting it pretty good, and then all of a sudden they can't roll it in, or their distance control in their wedge gets off, or whatever, and that's very common.
Now, that I know you don't work with Tiger Woods, but everybody asks the question, what's wrong with him? So, in other words, hypothesize, he is working on recreating a swing, so he doesn't pay any attention to the short game and the putting. As a result, the long term, as you said, he is not going to be able to perform close in because he's been focusing so much on that full swing.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And it's not that he's not working at it, but he's not working at it with the same intensity and focus that he did. In my mind, when Tiger was dominating, and obviously for over a decade, he's the best putter in the world for sure during that stretch, the toughest, best mental game in the world over that stretch. And I put him in the top four or five with the wedge. And I think, and the energy that it takes to build a different swing model. I know, Sean, I know what they've done, and I think he's hitting it probably as good as any year on tour, except for maybe you throw out year 2000 where he was just a machine. But you throw out that year, he's hitting it just as good as ever. It's really, he's no longer the best putter on the planet. The stats clearly show that. And mentally, I think he's taken a hit as well. So I think he's got to build that back up if he wants to get back to where he was.
Exactly, exactly. I love what you just said about, what you do today doesn't affect tomorrow. It affects a month from now. Remember
that. So true.
I'm going to do our legal ID here, KPUA Hilo, KGU Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. Your keys to consistency. We have about 10 minutes, and I thought it'd be a perfect thing for people who are listening to kind of get, you write, nowhere in sports is consistency more elusive than in the sport of golf. There have many times that I felt that I look like Jack Nicklaus on 1-9 and Bill Nicklaus the next. It's like, okay, right now I'm feeling really good about myself. I really have my game together. And then all of a sudden I've lost my game completely. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that is. And obviously that says, you know, there's so many parts of consistency. And I have very set, very hard beliefs in what creates that to the extent that we can in golf. It's obviously golf is a, we're human beings and timing is so critical and we're always going to hit bad shots. But hitting bad shots is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that just basically go off the deep end. And you see it all the time, whether it's, you know, I hate to use pro examples because we're not pros.
But right. Yes, I understand.
Any foursome on the that you play, you'll see a guy shoot, you know, 37 on one side and 45 on the next, or whether you know at a high level, you're looking at Adam Scott in the British Open. You know, he's or I had Charlie Hoffman, quite honestly, in one of the tournaments to Connecticut, had played 16. 9 or 70 holes with like 2 bogeys, and he finished double bogey bogey. And so that's clearly not physical. You know, that's mental. And I always just feel like your approach to getting better and how you organize yourself and go about things is really the key component to being consistent.
And we're talking with James Siekman, performance coach. You can find him, just go to your webpage and go to the search and put in James Siekman. You'll find him immediately. It's JSEGolfAcademy.com. You have 3 tips, the 3-step process. Can we go through that?
Yes.
Great.
Okay, number one, you really have to carefully choose what it is that you believe in, what you're going to go to battle with technically. Now, those are your fundamentals. These are the things that make me tick. And when I have a player, I usually try and get them to write those down and confirm them to me. So let's say, Danielle, that you and I are putting and the two of us together say, okay, these are the 7 things that we do when we putt. We set up like this with this posture. You know, this is what we're doing mentally, and this is what we want our stroke to be, okay? So we carefully define that. What happens is, instead of, I'm getting out of order here, so I'll go through it first. So you carefully define that. Step 2 is that you have to master what you've chosen in step 1, which is all about how you practice and being resilient and tough, okay? And the 3rd step is after you've mastered what you've chosen, you have to trust mentally what you've mastered, which means, you know, staying out of your own way.
Yes.
Now, if I circle back to those, here are typical pitfalls. So we come up with our 7 things in putting for you, and you have a bad putting day, your intuitive response is to try and search for number 8, like some magic cure. Or maybe if I just change my stance or change my grip a little bit, or maybe if I go buy a new putter, or maybe if I...
Yes, yes.
Try this one little weird thing. It's going to be the magic solution, and I'll putt well the rest of my career. People are always looking for this magic answer. And it's important to, as a player, if you're in this for the long term, is realize there is no magic answer.
Can I interject something really quick? Why is it that sometimes trying that funny little quirky thing or buying that putter works for maybe a couple of times, and you think you've really found something?
Yes, the reason is because you're circumventing step 2 and you're going to step 3, which is trust what you've mastered. Well, it's easy to pick up that putter and make a few putts and go, oh my gosh, I have it. This is the magic putter. And you have that false sense of confidence, kind of that false sense of competence, and your brain doesn't interfere, and you know, you're rolling them in and you get more confident. And the problem becomes then, what happens when you have your first bad putting round with that putter?
Yes.
Or you miss your first 3-footer? Then you're right back mentally to where you were before. And that's why these quick fix, kind of hoping for this magic pill, they never last long. They might last a day, but then now all of a sudden you have to try a new putter, but better, or you have to try a different stance, and then you're at the one place you cannot be if you're a golfer, and that is lost. When you start trying magic things that don't work over time, if you try enough of them, you're to the point where you throw your hands up and you go, I don't know what to do. Right?
Yeah, you got a garage full of putters.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a slippery slope that I refuse to let my players try and go down. Instead, I say, okay, Danielle, we have these seven things. If you putted bad today, which one of the seven things didn't you do? Because we know that when you do them, you putt well. So we always just circle back to the fundamentals, and we don't allow ourselves to search for some magic answer.
Got it. Okay.
And obviously the key to that is the seven things have to be, you have to understand them, they have to work. And the second step really comes, all these kind of interact with each other, is how do you master something if you're constantly changing? Because every time you change something, that kind of sets the mastery clock backwards. And you need reps, you need quality, high-intensity reps where you're repeating and doing the same thing. And you're going to make change this Tuesday, and you're going to make a change next Saturday, and you expect mastery. You know, that's just, we wouldn't do that in business. We wouldn't do that anywhere but on the golf course. So that makes no sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense that we think that on the golf course we're going to be able to do something where we can't do it anywhere else in life. But we think we can, right? Yeah.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
So then as far as practice goes, there's two parts to any practice session. And one is you get confirmation. Step one, you get confirmation that you're doing everything right in a very short period of time. Hopefully that we, like I said, the things that we decided in the first step. So you practice your fundamentals. We call that block practice. And hopefully I could show a player how to do that in just 2 or 3 minutes. So we go to the putting green, you set up a little workstation, you hit 10 putts, and we confirm that you're doing all seven things, Daniel. So after we get the confirmation, then we really need to work on skill development, which is a different type of practice. That's random practice where you're doing your routine, both your physical and your mental routine, and you're going through the steps you would when you play golf, and you actually practice getting your mind in the same area as it is when you play golf. And there's been all sorts of research done by people a lot smarter than me on how the brain works and how people learn. And the reality is that has the highest transfer rate to performance, that type of practice, than what we did and when we were just getting confirmation on the fundamentals. But if you go to any golf course, there would be less than 1% of the people out there practicing correctly, in my mind.
And practicing correctly is critical, because if you don't practice correctly, you just imprint the wrong things. And pretty soon you're confused completely. I like what you say when you say, finally, you must learn to trust what you have mastered. And of course, you have to master what you've chosen and know that you're practicing correctly. Trust requires a disciplined mental management plan. What you think, how you talk, and your emotional control. And in this scenario, you control the environment instead of letting it and the results control you. James Seekman, very nicely put. I really like your website, James Seekman Performance Coach, JSEGolfAcademy.com. Nice having you on the show. So nice to meet you, sir.
Thank you, Danielle. I really appreciate it. It was fun.
Thank you. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family, invite some friends. When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8711. Your tee time is waiting.
In the security business, trust is earned over time. That's why Star Protection Agency has grown to be the largest locally owned security company in Hawaii.
We've earned a reputation as a common sense, highly responsive, cutting-edge security provider. Our clients know that we're watching out for them. We know that our fast response is what makes us a star performer.
And we'd like to thank our clients for their trust over the past 20 years.
Trust your security to the Star, Star Protection Agency.
Our company has been in business more than 30 years, and we depend on Alakai Mechanical for everything. They maintain our air conditioners, sheet metal on our new roof. They just installed our new commercial kitchen. Doesn't matter if you're big business, a condo, or mom and pop store. If you want your job done on time, on budget, and done right, do what we do. Call Alakai Mechanical across the way. The best minds in air conditioning, plumbing, and sheet metal, that's Alakai Mechanical.
Yeah, yeah, a mongoose stole my ball. What's the rule on that?
Let's get back into the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Welcome back. We're doing our anniversary flyaway, the golf club, and over the next few months, you're going to be listening to the show, and if you hear the jet take off, it's a Hawaiian Airlines jet, and it could be going to Seattle or Portland or San Jose or San Francisco or Oakland. It could be going to New York, Los Angeles, San Diego, Sacramento. It could be going to any one of those places. But if you hear that Hawaiian Airlines jet take off like Sandra of Nu'uanu did, what you need to do is call 808-296-5467. 808-296-5467. If you are the ninth caller, you qualify to win a trip for two to San Francisco, and you will stay four nights in the Luxury Collection Palace Hotel in San Francisco. We're going to give away a trip for two, and then we're going to start all over again, and that'll be our consolation prize. Another trip for two to San Francisco and four nights at the Luxury Collection Palace Hotel so that you don't feel like, oh dear, I didn't win. Okay? So if you hear, you know, we've got to do it again in the next, oh, I don't know, 18 minutes because we're almost out of time. Show goes so fast, doesn't it, Chaz? Yeah, it just zips on through. We have our next guest. Came out with a great book. All you got to do is aim. Really? That's all I got to do? I think it's a little bit more complicated than that. But he's got nice pictures and diagrams that makes aiming seem so simple. Let's introduce you to a master PGA professional, teacher, coach at Bobby Putt Golf Schools. Welcome to the show, Bob Putt.
Hey, Danielle, how you doing?
Excellent, sir. Your motto, trying to be the best and help other people, I like that very much.
Well, that's what we do in golf, and we've done it 42 years. It gave us a whole bunch of pleasure along the way.
42 years?
Yes, sir.
Wow. When did you start? How old were you when you? I don't mean to date you, sir. How rude of me.
That's all right. I turned professional 1 month after I got back from Vietnam in 1967.
Wow. But you must have started playing much sooner than that. When did you take up the game?
When I was seven.
So who introduced you to it?
My father.
Your dad played.
Yes.
Did he take you to the course? How did he get you to play golf?
Well, he made us push his cart. Back then, they didn't have caddies, and they just put the bags on the carts. And we, my little brother and I, took care of his clubs on the cart.
So you got to know all the clubs and got really comfortable with the equipment. So it wasn't like somebody put a club in your hand and said, figure it out. You were handling those clubs, and then you wanted to hit the ball?
Oh, sure.
Ah, see, that's why you got to have your kids, like, be a part of your whole outing when you go on the golf course. It's important. I saw the picture in my mind, golf cart, grandpa, three kids hanging out of the cart, and they're going down to the next hole. It was a great picture, and I'd like to see that more often. I'd like to see that more often. At the Prince course, they're doing a great demo day today, TaylorMade, Titleist, and the Craft Fair. It's all starting at 9 o'clock, the Craft Fair. Demo day at 10 o'clock. Steve Murphy's there. He's the director of golf. Titleist, TaylorMade, all of their new stuff there. You'll be able to get fitted, and they're doing clinics. Okay. Bob Putt, you did this great book that I was reading, and all you got to do is aim. You cover something that we all, you said something in your book that really struck me. People take a stance and then figure out where they're going to go from there.
That's correct.
Tell us about that.
Well, like if you go to the Prince course or any other course today, you're going to see 85 to 90% of the people take their stance before they do anything else. Then they might look where they're going, and then they put the club down. And once you assume your buy position, you're often not going to change it. So the way you change it is you change your sway, because your eyes and your hands have control of where the club is going to hit the ball. So, like, if you're aimed at first base, you're obviously you're going to swing towards third base, and that's going to make you overdo it, and usually that's going to produce a slice or a fade, at least. But at least the shot's not on target.
What is it that makes people take a stance and then not move once they've seen where their target is?
It's more of a habit than anything, but, you know, a lot of times when you first learn, you know, you learn not to hold people up, and so you hurry, hurry, hurry. If you're playing with your wife or your husband, one of them's going to say, hurry up, they're behind you, they're waiting, so, you know, hurry up and hit it, basically. But if they would take a little more time and get their stance last instead of first, then they would aim better and obviously hit fewer shots and play faster.
Okay, so a lot of it has to do with feeling like you've got to hurry?
Well, not everybody, but a lot of people who first learn, you know, were taught to hurry. And so golf is supposed to be a relaxing game where you're out in the sun and the green grass and the wind in your face. And especially if you had the trade winds over there, you're going to have wind in your face. So you just relax and take your time. But if you're hurried, then, of course, you're going to get your stance first and then change your swing.
Okay. So how should I do that then? Let's say I'm not gonna take a stance. I'm just gonna walk up to the ball. Tell me what the process is that I should go through.
Okay, if you say this little word G-cast, which is really not a word, but G represents grip. So get your grip first. Then C is for club. You put the club behind the ball. A is for aiming. Look where you're going. Choose an intermediate target, place the club at the ball and your intermediate target, and then last, take your stance. And when you take your stance, you're also setting your ball position. So if you're using an iron, generally, unless it's a long iron, you're going to spread each foot equally, so you'd have the ball in the center of your stance. You want it in the center of your stance because that's where the club is going to return back down to at impact.
Okay. So, go through
so that. Grip, club, aim, stance, or G-cast is the way to get prepared to hit a shot.
So, grip the club first,
yes.
Okay? Then aim.
And then the next thing is you put the club on the ground behind the ball. And the club relation to the ball would be the ball in the middle of the club face, the club right next to the ball. And, of course, the club being flat on the ground and the swing.
Okay. Then I aim. Then I figure out what my target is, and then I take my stance.
Exactly.
Okay. So
we got four things, just like 1, 2, 3, 4, grip, club, aim, stance. Now you're ready to swing.
Okay, it's the C that I got kind of confused because I've already got the club in my hand. But I've got the club, I grip the club, then I put the club down behind the ball,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Then I aim to see where my target is, and then I take my stance. It seems so, I don't know, you know, a given. It's a given. It's you know, of course that's what I would do, but it's interesting that people take this stance first. We're going to take a break and come back right after this. We're talking with Bob Putt, master PGA professional, teacher, and coach at Bobby Putt Golf Schools. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Magnificent by nature. Princeville's Prince Course on Kauai's spectacular North Shore. Renovated greens, bunkers, clubhouse, and more. They're now offering Kama'aina the chance for unlimited play for only $99 for the entire weekend. Golfers, is there a better way to spend Saturday and Sunday? Unlimited play on Kauai's Prince Course with your local ID. It's Kama'aina weekends. That's right. Play 18, 36, or more, both Saturday and Sunday for only $99. Call 826-5001 for tee times.
AC runs year-round in Hawaii. Whether you're in office, store, building, or shopping center, your AC on the fritz can ruin your day and stop your business. Alakai Mechanical does it all, from AC sales to maintaining your AC, so it runs better and lasts longer. Alakai world-class professionals are using only the best parts to keep you cool. Protect your investment, from window system to cooling towers across Hawaii. Call Alakai Mechanical, keeping you cool.
Let's see, 40 yards to the pin, wind in my face. Where's my wedge? I saw this flop shot on TV. Oh, not even close. Now, back to Danielle Tucker.
Oh, yes, you are paying attention. The phone is ringing because you want to win the trip for two to San Francisco. You want to stay at the Luxury Collection Palace Hotel in San Francisco. You want to qualify to be in the drawing. And we'll do this twice, two round trips for two. And that's on Hawaiian Airlines going Seattle, Portland, San Jose, San Francisco, Oakland, Los Angeles, San Diego, Sacramento, New York, of course, all of their destinations, among many others. But you'll be going to San Francisco if you win this one. A round trip for two, the Luxury Collection Palace Hotel in San Francisco is where you will be staying. We're talking with Bobby Putt, and he wrote a great book. It's called All You Gotta Do Is Aim. Now, it turns out that most of us don't do it right. Most of us take a stance and then figure out, you know, you got your body planted. And then you kind of adjust everything around, try to aim and then swing, and everything gets... So in other words, Bobby Putt, master PGA professional, you're asking your body to completely change the swing every time you set yourself up to hit the ball if you take your stance first.
That's true, and most people, well, almost everybody compensates during the swing, you know, in some shape or form. But if you want to minimize the compensation, then, you know, just like James said, you need a sequence of things where you practice the things that you want to do. And so, like, if you're out on the practice day practicing straight shots, going right down the middle of the fairway, at a target that's dead center in the middle of the fairway, you're not going to have too much problem aiming at it. But if you aim at, say, first base, at a target out to the right or to the left, anything that's off center, it's going to be a lot harder.
And this I'm sorry, sir.
A lot of times, many players can't figure out why they can't take it from the practice tee to the golf course. You know, they say, well, hitting it perfect on the practice tee, but I just can't do worth a darn on the golf course. And the reason is they're aiming straight away. They have ropes or baskets or bag racks to make them aim down the center. So it's real easy just to take your grip club aim stance and make a perfect swing with a good shoulder turn, and you hit a perfect shot that's straight at the target. But if you were to aim at first or third base or anywhere else, you're going to probably compensate. So while you're practicing, like James said, you know, do what you need to do all the time. Practice in a systematic way.
And in your book, the steps that you take people through, you have pictures, and it's very well laid out. You're welcome. How did you come to put this whole book together? You've not only got people going straight, you've got the uphill, downhill, sidehill lies. All of those are going to change the way you're going to take your stance because your aim will be completely different. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, just aiming in general is going to change your golfing life because most people don't do it correctly. So when you read the book, it's just like there's other things in there that cause you to aim correctly. And it's like, you know, if you watch the players on the TV, they're all going to pretty much walk behind the ball and choose a target that's intermediate between where they want the ball to go and where they want the ball to end up. Obviously, the wind and everything else comes into play. So they not only have to aim at a target, but what's the ball going to do when it hits the ground? Is it going to kick to the right, left? How hard is it going to roll? Is it going to stop? What's going to happen to the ball when it hits the ground? You know, that should cause your aiming to change when you first get over the ball.
All you got to do is aim. I like this review. I went to my web page, Googled it. All you got to do is aim, and you'll find at Google Books. For any golfer, all you got to do is aim. Seems simple enough. But PGA Master Professional Bob Putt's great new book, All You Gotta Do Is Aim, unlocks this simple concept and breaks it down into easy-to-understand lessons for golfing success. Really a great idea, since most of us don't even think about what we're doing. We're on the golf course. Sometimes the mind goes completely blank. You just, as you said, you want to get it done. You want to, you know, hit the ball next. It's your turn. And you're saying to yourself, hurry up, make a decision. So what do you say, you know, back at yourself, Bob Putt? What do you say to your mind, you know, calm down, stop, take a breath?
Well, you know, what you need to do is go back to, you know, how you would practice to get ready to play. And that is where grip, club, aim, stance comes into play. But just like when you get ready in the morning, you know, for your day, what's the first thing you do? Do you put girls can say exactly what they do, but guys don't have a clue. Do you put your pants on first or your shirt on first? Do you tie your left shoe first or your right shoe? Everything you do during the day is a habit. Just like driving your car, we put ourselves on automatic. You know, you don't think about what it takes to even drive a car. You got to have a key. Open the door, put the key in, adjust, you're supposed to adjust your mirrors and do all those things, your seat, you know, before you start. But particularly a lot of girls, you'll see putting makeup on during the road. Everybody's texting and they're on the phone. And so no telling what's going to happen in the short ride that they take. So in golf, you have to have the right habit. And the right habit is ingrained at you. It's basically what James was saying a while ago. If all else fails, what do? You just give up. You're lost. Well, what do? Well, when you're sick, you go to the doctor. When you're lost and you're golfing, you need to finally break down and go take a golf lesson from a PGA professional or from someone who's a recognized teacher that can help you.
I love you. You're great. You went right back to it. Go take a lesson. Exactly. PGA Master Professional Bob Putt. The name of the book is All You Gotta Do Is Aim. It's a really good book. It's got great diagrams. It shows you, and they're pictures just with lines so you can see directional. And the secrets that you will find, and some other tasks that you can do to get your game way above your fellow competitors and friends. I like how you put that. Get the book, then learn the secrets, then put them into action, and then your friends will wonder, wow, what did they do? And you can say, oh, nothing. It just came to me. Get the book. All you got to do is aim. His name is Bob Putt, Master PGA Professional. Thanks for being on the show.
Hey, thanks a lot, Denny. I'm going to jump off this phone and call your number and win that trip to San Francisco.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Aloha. And thank you for making the golf club possible. Poipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes. Visually stunning. Nature and Robert Trent Jones Jr. conspired to create a stunning venue for golfers of all abilities. A unique and unforgettable golfing experience. It is Poipu Bay, Kauai's South Shore gem. Alakai Mechanical, number one for your air conditioning and plumbing needs. Star Protection, property threat, risk assessment first. Then get protection for your home, for your business, for your concert, for your Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Get the Star Team on your property. And Princeville's Prince Course, magnificent by nature. Demo day starts at 10 o'clock. TaylorMade, Titleist, and Clinics. Plus, there's the craft fair where you can get everything you want on your Christmas list. I said it before Thanksgiving. I apologize profusely. Get over to the Prince Course. They're going to have a great time today. My name is Danielle Tucker. You can listen to the show anytime at RadioGolfClub.com. This is The Golf Club. Aloha.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2012.